Welcome to Friend of Marilyn. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Marilyn, I discuss the relationship between weight loss and fat acceptance. Amanda Levitt drops in to chat about her new Fat Rights Toolkit, and I spotlight a blog from The Rotund by Marianne Kirby. I also tried some new recording techniques this week, so the audio might sound a bit different. Please bear with me as I work all of this technical stuff out. One of the questions I receive when doing media for my new radio show is whether fat people want to lose weight. I'm always unsure of the motivation behind such a question, but I usually have an answer prepared, and I'm no longer surprised when it is asked. Do fat people want to lose weight? Do fat people want to no longer be fat? The easy answer is yes, most probably do. It is the sane choice when you live in a world that finds you disgusting. Being fat is considered unhealthy, lazy, undesirable, and a moral failure. If we look back at other groups who have been oppressed and discriminated against, we can find members of those groups engaging in activities to negotiate the stigma. Ethnic minorities may use creams to lighten their skin or straighten their hair. Gays and lesbians may marry and raise families in heterosexual relationships. I believe that many fat people would rather not be fat, and many try to achieve this through weight loss. Now, whether or not fat people should be trying to lose weight is only the business of that individual fat person. I have no interest in telling people what choices they should make for their own bodies, just as I have absolutely no interest in others telling me what choices I should make for my own. But I do think that it is important that people recognize that making the choice to support weight loss businesses reinforces the fat-hating culture we live in. Businesses like Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig make their money off of the back of fat people. They thrive on fat phobia. They exist because of the cultural belief that fat is undesirable. They make their money because people want to lose weight because they believe that being fat is bad. Now, I'm not trying to say that all individuals who want to lose weight want to do so because they are fat-hating, but I do believe that it is at the heart for many of those who are dieting. If you are one of the millions wanting to lose weight, ask yourself why. What is your motivation? What is behind the desire to lose weight? Do you want to lose weight because of your health? Well, why not consider what health issues you have and the steps and activities you can take to remedy these instead of focusing on weight loss? Do you want to lose weight because you are ashamed of your body? Why not work on your self-esteem and learn to love yourself and your body instead of focusing on weight loss? Do you want to lose weight because you have pain in your lower back? Well, why not do exercises that strengthen your back instead of focusing on weight loss? Do you want to lose weight because you cannot find fashion in your size? Well, why not join a group like Supersizes on Facebook or demand that fashion producers make cool clothes in your size instead of focusing on weight loss? Do you want to lose weight because your partner is not sexually attracted to you? Why not work with your partner to broaden your sexual turn-ons or find a new partner instead of focusing on weight loss? Do you want to lose weight because you are unhappy with your life? Well, why not work out why you are unhappy about your life and then make steps to change those things instead of focusing on weight loss? I believe that many of the reasons I've given above are often just excuses to cover up fat phobia. If you are interested in losing weight, be honest with yourself about the reasons. If when you scratch below the surface, you find disgust and fear of fat, that's okay. It's probably even normal. It doesn't make you a bad person. But if you do find those feelings and beliefs, think about where they come from and what they mean for the fat people that you care about in your life and what they mean for yourself. Whether or not a person can be fat accepting and trying to lose weight is a point of contention within the fatosphere. Others have written about this, and I've been trying to work it out for myself. I really like the efforts of Fatadelic at her blog to tease out the differences and relationships between fat acceptance, size acceptance, self-acceptance, body acceptance, and dieting. I agree with Fatadelic that dieting and body acceptance are mutually exclusive. If you are trying to change something about your body, you are not embracing body acceptance. But of course, an individual can make choices for themselves in their own body, such as dieting, that are not always congruent with the ideologies they embrace, such as size or fat acceptance. And more importantly, I believe it is important that the fat acceptance movement must allow for differences and disagreements as it continues to grow. We cannot draw lines in the sand about who is in and who is out. When Marilyn Juan was on my inaugural show, she made the distinction between fat acceptance and fat liberation. She said she was not interested in fat acceptance, which to her was about convincing people to tolerate fatness, to accept it. Instead, Marilyn Juan is working for fat liberation. Embracing and celebrating fat, she claims it is her birthright. At the time, I thought it was a cool idea, but I was still okay with the phrase fat acceptance. It definitely sounded more user-friendly than fat liberation, and getting others interested in promoting dignity and rights for fat people is one of the goals of this show. Baby steps, right? But I keep thinking about the differences and the relationship between fat acceptance and weight loss. And so I asked the all-knowing Tumblr, can a person be fat accepting and trying to lose weight? I had hoped for wisdom to be shared by the many FA individuals in the Tumblr world and was surprised instead to receive responses from non-FA friends on my Facebook as my Tumblr posts appear there as well. From reading their responses, I realized, oh wow, fat acceptance really is about tolerating fatness. It is seen by others as simply accepting a circumstance you find yourself in. And let me tell you, for me, that was an eye-opener. I have no interest in my fatness being something to tolerate or a circumstance to be acceptance. Marilyn was right. My fatness is my birthright. It is not something I accept or tolerate or simply try to make the best of. It is something I embrace, I celebrate, I recognize as an important part of what makes me who I am. But that is where I am in my journey, and my journey is not the same as others, and that is okay. I got something in the mail on Saturday that I have been looking forward to receiving for weeks. It is my Fat Rights Toolkit with Body Revolutions found inside. It is purple, it is sparkly, it is fabulous. So I'm very excited that dropping into the show today is Amanda Leavitt from the blog fatwaitress.com and also the founder of Love Your Body Detroit, because Amanda is the person who put together my Fat Rights Toolkit. Amanda, thank you for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm just giddy over my toolkit, and I actually bought two, and I have yet to decide who is the lucky person that gets my second. But there are buttons and bookmarks and pieces of paper and all sorts of fun stuff. So I guess just to kind of start, where did the idea come from?
It was actually back in March, because I'm a full-time student, so this has been like my side project. But it was back in March that there was, a little bit of a mess up on Tumblr with a lot of the fat acceptance community. And I really got the idea that we really needed something that was like a nice little start and basis for people that either don't know about the fat rights community or they want to learn about fat rights, and really is just like a nice little, kit that we can put together that has, buttons and other fun things in it that people can read and, and really reach out to other people in their life as well. So from that, I just, got the idea to start it, and it's really been a process trying to figure out how to do it as cheap as possible. And also something to do that, because Love Your Body Detroit is nonprofit and is literally a nonprofit, try to find something that makes us some sort of profit and able to, do all the other campaigns that we do.
Okay. So there are a bunch of different pieces to my kit that I receive. So as you mentioned, there's these great buttons that I can wear. So right now I've got my I Love My Fat Body button on. But there's another button that says, I'm an advocate for body equality, which is fantastic. Tell me about is it a tape measure?
Yeah, it's a body positive measuring tape.
Uh-huh.
I actually, when I got the idea of doing the Fat Rights Toolkit, I put on my Facebook, I was like, if you had a toolkit, what would you put in it? And Marilyn Wan, who is so amazing and is my hero and everything
mine
else.
Mine too.
Crazy. She's my Facebook friend, and I've talked to her on the phone, which is awesome, which makes me laugh. But anyway, so she just said, you should make a body positive measuring tape. And, you know, and she's like, you know, it should have words instead of numbers. And it's really kind of taking the same idea that she had for the yay scales, but turning it into something that, you know, that is easier, not easier to make per se, but something that's just different, but kind of has the same idea. So instead of numbers, it has words. So it has, you know, different positive sayings about yourself. And, you know, and it was super fun trying to figure out how to make it. It's made out of ribbon, fabric ribbon, and I used little letter stamps and fabric paints and kind of put it all together.
Well, I have to say, I'm measuring my upper arm right now, and it measures as fabulous. So I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So there are other pieces to my kit. So one of the things that is in here is kind of a small, about the size of a business card. So really easy to carry around, really easy to hand to other people. And on the outside, it says, I am learning to love my body. And then on the inside, it talks about people who care about you that you might want to give the card to, ways that they can help create a safer, livable space.
Yeah, and that to me, because I know so many people, and I feel like this so often, you know, even though I've been writing about fat rights for a really long time, you know, a lot of people in my family either don't understand how to speak around me or, you know, it's really allowing yourself to and understanding that it's okay to ask people to understand things that are okay and are not okay to say around you or do around you or whatever. And so, you know, I think I tried to make it as non-confrontational as possible. To explain to them, you know, why you don't want them to talk that way, why you're even telling them, because the fact that you're going to a family member or a friend or an acquaintance and giving them a card that, you know, explains what safe and little, or, you know, safe spaces or livable spaces, but then also explains why it's so important to you that they understand this. And that was, for me, was, you know, what I wanted to do. I wanted it to be small so that, you know, you can carry it around with you and was really something that you can share with other people.
Well, and as you said, those of us that are involved in fat liberation and fat rights, oftentimes our family and friends, they want to be supportive of us and they want to not create hostile environments, but they're sometimes unsure how. So like in this little card that you created, on one side it says, here are some ways to help me create a safer, livable space. Number one, stop talking negatively about your and or other bodies. Stop giving food moral value. Stop diet and weight loss talk. And stop judging others' worth or health based on their bodies. Those are four really clear, concrete suggestions that you can give people about how to create safe and livable spaces. And as you said, they're non-confrontational, they're non-judgmental, they're really simple, basic requests. But I think they speak a lot to the fact that oftentimes we are unaware of how much fat talk and anti-fat talk we engage in ourselves and how that might affect others. So I love that. I love this little thing. And I do. It's great because you can carry it around and just give it to the people that you care about. And hopefully they'll recognize that this is you saying, I love you and I want to keep you in my life, but I'm on this path and this is the way you can help me.
Well, and I think that so many people don't, you know, I know that in my own family, especially within the female portion of the people in my family, it really is like this dialogue that we have where we talk about our bodies negatively. It's something that I don't participate in, but it's hard because I know that when I go to family gatherings that that's what's going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, that for me was, in a way, it was really important to me because it's something that I, you know, that I carry around with me now, but it's also something that I just thought was, you know, having a card that gives you really, really easy things to understand and it's not confrontational and you're not telling them that they can't do that on their own, but they can't do it around you or explaining why.
Very cool. So there's also little bookmarks. Do you want to talk about the bookmarks?
The bookmarks are basically what I wanted to do with those was the NAFA chapter in, I believe, L.A. actually did this. They printed up bookmarks, and then they went around to stores and put the bookmarks into the into books and into other places where, you know, they basically, like, you know, went in, and so that instead of going to a diet book and just seeing the diet book, then you also saw the, you know, little small bit of activism where they were, again, showing fat pride instead of and telling people to not buy diet books.
Yeah, I think Charlotte Cooper actually did something similar to that as well at one point. I remember her talking about guerrilla activism and one of the really kind of low-cost ways was, to print up these half-sheet flyers about, you know, accept yourself, love yourself for who you are now, and then put them in the kinds of books that actually often encourage people to feel bad about themselves or the, you know, women's magazines that are kind of designed for that purpose.
Yeah, no, totally. And that was, I mean, you know, and again, like, I think that if you pick up something and you're reading it and then you see that, you know, you see something else in it that has a completely different message, it at least puts that message out there. And it does it in a way that, you know, is a little naughty, which is always fun.
a bit subversive. You know, being rebels, as Marilyn Juan encourages to be.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that because, you know, doing something that's fun and makes you laugh and is enjoyable to you, especially when you're doing activism, is so important to me, at least, because it's, you know, in a lot of ways it is hard work, but at the same time, you know, you're doing it because you're passionate about it, and that's something that, you know, being able to go out there and do something where you're, you know, sneaking around a bookstore and trying to put them in there and no one notices, it's a lot of fun, so.
Well, I think that these kits are great for a lot of different reasons. I mean, as you said, you know, it gives something, gives you something kind of concrete to start with if you're just kind of getting involved in fat activism, and it gives those of us that are involved easy ways to maybe educate others. And the tape measure, I think, is my favorite, just because, like you mentioned with Marilyn Juan's Yay Scale, the idea of taking an everyday item that most people, especially women, oftentimes approach with fear and anxiety, like a scale or a tape measure, and actually flipping that on its head and using it as a way to encourage positive thinking about your body and body love and acceptance is really powerful.
No, and you know, and the other thing about the toolkit is I didn't realize how hard it would be for me to make them.
Yeah.
It took a little bit. So there's only like 10
fair enough.
That I made. If I could find someone to do some, that would be awesome. But unfortunately, that I like literally hand cut all of the books of everything. So it was a disaster. But other than that, like for me, like I really wanted to make something again that was low cost, because one of the biggest things that I want to do, especially with Everybody Detroit, is show how easy activism is. You know, we print flyers up. We put flyers up. Something like that. You know, you think that there's so much that needs to be involved, but doing that, you can have two people and do it in a night. And so that's where, again, doing something like the Fat Rights Toolkit, while it did take a little bit longer to put it together, you know, a body positive measuring tape only takes me about 20 minutes, maybe a half hour to make. So, you know, and that is such an easy way to get your message across or, you know, raise funds for activism that, you know, again, like that was a huge motivation to trying this out too.
So if other people who are listening are interested in getting their own Fat Rights Toolkit from you and Love Your Body Detroit, how would they do that?
We have an Etsy. It's LYB Detroit.
Okay.
And I think it's just at .etsy.com. But you also, I know I posted it on our Love Your Body Detroit Facebook page, so if you just Google Love Your Body Detroit, it's up there. But yeah, so it should be out there. I know that, I'm trying to think, yeah, I think it's just lybdetroit.etsy.com, and you should be able to find it there, and I'm planning on posting more since you took two of them. I need to put them up.
Well, so I was just so excited. I couldn't just get one, you know, because I knew I wanted one for myself. Like the sparkly purple was mine. And then I did. I wanted to get a second one to give to someone else or maybe to just kind of keep in you know, without kind of really opening or using in terms of collecting the history of the things that we're doing. So, yeah. But yeah, you'll have to make sure that there are others for other people to buy, because hopefully some people will now go out and get one now that they've heard you on the show.
Yes. Well, and also, I mean, once the actual tangible kits are gone, I'm going to hopefully, because we started the Love Your Body Network, which we have a chapter that just started in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And we, like, one of the things that we're planning on doing, you should be able to find the group on Facebook, but what we're planning on doing is all of the print material that Love Your Body Detroit uses, we are going to give to whoever wants to, so you can go out to FedEx or wherever else and you print it. And some of the things that are in the kit are going to be included in that. So, you know, things like buttons that you can go out and get buttons made or whatever.
Right.
Else, so.
No, that's such a good idea, because it is. It's about kind of setting that grassroots stuff, but then allowing
yeah.
other people to utilize the good ideas. We don't all have to reinvent the wheel. You know, it's about sharing what works and brainstorming when things don't work and kind of trying as a community at large, which is great because that's what you and Love Your Body Detroit are doing.
And it's fun.
Yeah. And that's always what really matters. We want to have fun. We want to have a good time.
Well, and I think, you know, like this summer we went out and did activism and we took a yay scale out and, you know, we went to Motor City Pride and we yayed people on the scale. And it was just like, you know, it's so rewarding personally to go out there and do that. But it's also, it makes you, you know, it's energizing too. So, you know, it's just, yeah, getting out there and seeing people's reactions. Very few people have bad reactions, which is surprising because I know there's so much anxiety and fear, but it was just amazing. So, and doing something like the Thyroid's Toolkit, hopefully more people will want to do that. So.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. Again, this was Amanda Levitt from fatwaitress.com and the founder of Love Your Body Detroit. Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah, thank you.
In the spotlight today is a piece from The Rotund, a blog that unpacks society's standards of beauty and the oppression of the dominant body paradigm. Written by Marianne Kirby, The Rotund has produced some of my favorite pieces across the years, and I am excited to be spotlighting one such piece now. This piece is called Reviewing the Basics, The Morality of Health. In this piece, Marianne proposes that health is not a moral issue. She reviews the bygone years of history where good health or failing health was believed to be a punishment or reward from God for good or bad behavior. And Marianne suggests that while we have moved past this kind of thinking in many ways, we still cling to the residual belief that a person's health is tied to their morality. Marianne writes, "Chronic illness is not a punishment from an all-powerful God of some sort. Diabetes isn't either. Being out of breath at the top of a flight of stairs is not a hex cast on you for being a bad person. And, in reverse, having perfect blood pressure and ideal cholesterol is not a sign that you are a good person, superior in every way to those who struggle with the numbers. To assume either position is ridiculous. Having a chronic illness is having a chronic illness. Having perfect blood pressure is having perfect blood pressure. The two are just realities, and they can coexist, that are possible within a scope of endless realities. Health is a slippery concept at the best of times anyway. I mean, you don't keep a racehorse in peak condition because it's bad for the horse, as in the institution of horse racing, by and large. That seems to have escaped people, though, some of whom really do push the idea that we should all be striving to maintain an ideal that is pretty arbitrary anyway. That's actually what I love about health at every size, that the definition of health is entirely personal and about achieving your own concept of health. For some people, that might be making it through the day with energy left over to clear the table after dinner. For other people, that might be a marathon. And whatever you need to make it to that goal is cool by me and health at every size." Unquote. Dr. Anne-Marie Jettle has written extensively about this very issue, morality and health. She argues that the reason we care so much about other people's bodies is because we believe we can determine their moral fiber by their physical appearance. Non-fat people are believed to be virtuous, hardworking, and good, while fat people are believed to be immoral, lazy, and bad. Marianne concludes, quote, "The point is this, health isn't a moral issue. Having a disability doesn't make you a bad fatty or a bad representative of fat acceptance. Taking the stairs doesn't make you a good fatty or a good representative of fat acceptance, and neither make you a good or bad person. Using the "I'm concerned about your health" as an excuse to harangue people about their weight is bullshit. If you're concerned about my health, ask me how I'm doing. I don't mind telling you. I'm treating my allergies and asthma successfully, thanks. I'm overextending myself, though, and that's taking a huge toll on my mental health. But if what you really mean is, I think your fat is killing you, well, you're wrong. We might have to agree to disagree. You can think it's killing me while I sit here alive and well all you want. It's not my fat that is making me fatigued. It's 5 or fewer hours of nightmare interrupted sleep every night because I'm stressing out about a million things. It's not my fat that is making me cough and wheeze. It's my asthma that is triggered by cold air. Don't believe that your fat makes you a less worthwhile human being. Don't believe that having a disability or a chronic illness or whatever unspecified disease makes you a less worthwhile human being. It's not a moral issue." Unquote. Both Marianne of the Rotund and Dr. Anne-Marie Jettle are both trying to express that individuals do not have a moral obligation to be healthy. And even if we were to assume that they did, and that one is related to another, being healthy is very arbitrary. What is healthy for one person may not be healthy for another. And how do we truly define health? Is it the medical test that a doctor can run? Is it the activities that people engage in every day? Is it the simple standards and guidelines that are set by insurance companies and governments? What it means to be healthy is difficult to define. And if nothing else, it is definitely not a moral obligation. Closing the show is Casey Donovan with Did It Again.
I gotta keep running now. I gotta keep moving now.